the altar stone. After several inept slashes, he managed to cut the ropes that bound the girl, who sat up and burst into tears. "It's all right," he began. "It bloody well isn't," she snapped, glaring at him through two red-rimmed eyes. "Why do people always go and spoil things?" She blew her nose resentfully on the edge of her robe. Twoflower looked up at Rincewind in embarrassment.
I don't think you quite understand," he said. "I mean, we just saved you from an absolutely certain death."
"It's not easy round here," she said. "I mean, keeping yourself."
She blushed and twisted the hem of her robe wretchedly.
"I mean, staying, not letting yourself be, not losing your qualifications."
"Qualifications?" said Twoflower, earning the Rincewind cup for the slowest person on the uptake in the entire multiverse. The girl's eyes narrowed.
"I could have been up there with the moon goddess by now, drinking mead out of a silver bowl," she said petulantly. 8 years of staying home on Saturday nights right down the drain."
She looked up at Rincewind and scowled. Then he sensed something. Perhaps it was a barely heard footstep behind him, perhaps it was a movement reflected in her eyes, but he ducked. Something whistled through the air where his neck had been and glanced off Twoflower's bald head. Rincewind spun round to see the arch-druid readying his sickle for another swing, and in the absence of any hope of running away, lashed out desperately with a foot. It caught the druid squarely on the kneecap. As the man screamed and dropped his weapon, there was a nasty little fleshy sound, and he fell forward. Behind him, the little man with the long beard pulled his sword from the body, wiped it with a handful of snow, and said,
"My lumbago is giving me jip. You can carry the treasure."
"Treasure?" said Rincewind weakly.
"All the necklaces and stuff. All the gold collars. They've got lots of them. That's priests for you,"
said the old man wetly.
"Nothing but talk, talk, talk. Who's the girl?"
"She won't let us rescue her," said Rincewind. The girl looked at the old man defiantly through her smudged eyeshadow.
"Bugger that,"
he said, and with one movement picked her up, staggered a little, screamed at his arthritis, and fell over. After a moment he said from his prone position,
"Don't just stand there, you daft bitch. Help me up."
Much to Rincewind's amazement, and almost certainly to hers as well, she did so. Rincewind, meanwhile, was trying to rouse Twoflower. There was a graze across his temple which didn't look too deep, but the little man was unconscious with a faintly worried smile plastered across his face. His breathing was shallow and strange. And he felt light, not simply underweight, but weightless. The wizard might as well have been holding a shadow. Rincewind remembered that it was said that druids used strange and terrible poisons. Of course, it was often said, usually by the same people, that crooks always had close-set eyes, lightning never struck twice in the same place, and if the gods had wanted men to fly, they'd have given them an airline ticket. But something about Twoflower's lightness frightened Rincewind, frightened him horribly. He looked up at the girl. She had the old man slung over one shoulder, and gave Rincewind an apologetic half-smile. From somewhere around the small of her back, a voice said,
"Got everything? Let's get out of here before they come back."
Rincewind tucked Twoflower under one arm and jogged along after them. It seemed the only thing to do. The old man had a large white horse tethered to a withered tree in a snow-filled gully some way from the circles. It was sleek, glossy, and the general effect of a superb battle charger was only very slightly spoiled by the hemorrhoid ring tied to the saddle.
"Okay, put me down. There's a bottle of some liniment stuff in the saddle bag, if you won't mind."
Rincewind propped Twoflower as nicely as possible against the tree, and by moonlight, and he realized by the faint red light of the menacing new star, took the first real look at his rescuer. The man had only one eye. The other was covered by a black patch. His thin body was a network of scars, and currently twanging white-hot with tendonitis. His teeth had obviously decided to quit long ago.
"Who are you?"
"Bethan," said the girl, rubbing a handful of nasty-smelling green ointment into the old man's back. She wore the air of one who, if asked to consider what sort of events might occur after being rescued from virgin sacrifice by a hero with a white charger, would probably not have mentioned liniment, but who, now liniment was apparently what did happen to you after all, was determined to be good at it.
"I meant him."